This recording, South Africa 28, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up a kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to strap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered... Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. When Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis, almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Ms. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Well, I was born in Johannesburg in South Africa, and then after 2 years of being brought up in Johannesburg, my parents moved to Witbank in South Africa, which is an hour southeast or southwest of Johannesburg. And that's where I grew up for 10.5 years before moving to the United States. There's a huge mixture of just interactions between people because of how diverse the culture is. There's a very large African culture, which is kind of obvious, and they really influence how the white Africans go about their daily life. They're also Afrikaners, which are the Dutch settlers that colonized the country, and then their ancestors are still prevalent in the country. And then there are also the British, British settlers who also spawned a huge culture there. So there are all these different influences, like with the British accent as well as South Africa, as the Afrikaner accent and the Zulu accent, that all influence how a South African dialect is kind of come about and why it's so hard to place because of all the different aspects of how diverse a culture is. The culture, there's nothing like it here really. I mean, there is a South African subculture here that is a little more it's a very specific subculture here, so missing all the aspects of the culture there, like all the influences, like there's just so many influences from other countries and other cultures that created a very diverse South African culture that I can't find anywhere here, so it's hard to kind of get that satisfaction here, whereas like you can only find it in South Africa, so it's one of the things I miss, as well as my family.